You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is Great Awakenings on GlobalFreedomTV.com. We're glad to have you with us. We have the great Mike Harris one more time. Mike, so much to cover, so little time. We'll jump right into it. There's Ukraine. There's the crazy faggot Lindsey Graham. There's the Eurovision circus of faggots. There's the attack on Belgorod. There's the Zionist, Talmudist, demonically possessed Jewish cohorts in Israel continuing their bombing of Rafah and the extermination that seems to be following, and all sorts of other things. Mike, it's good to be with you. Where do you want to start out? What's the most important assessment you have for this week?
Well, let's start out with Lindsey Graham, because Lindsey Graham, believe it or not, stepped on his and Israel's dick really hard.
Yes.
And so let's,
I've got a video of him, by the way.
Let me just give the backstory on that is, the United States has been promoting this nuclear nonproliferation treaty for a very long time. And any country that has nuclear weapons and has not signed the nonproliferation treaty, the U.S. is forbidden to do any aid, any trade, any negotiations. I don't even know if it might even go down to the ambassador level. You know, they may not even be allowed to have an ambassador. But Israel, as was revealed in congressional testimony a few years back, Colin Powell is out of the bag, that Israel has nuclear weapons. And Lindsey Graham just verified it again by calling on Israel to nuke Gaza. So if Israel has nuclear weapons, why are we giving them aid? Why do they have an embassy in the U.S.? Why do we have an embassy in Israel? And why are we having a trade between them, much less allowing their dual Israeli-American citizens access to anything within the United States? So Lindsey Graham has created a bit of a diplomatic faux pas here that he needs to be taken to task on. So that is something with Lindsey Graham. I've never been a favorite of him. He's one of those neocon chicken hawks. You never fought a day in his life, but yet he wants to send our, he's always advocating for war and a muscular foreign policy, but he's putting no skin in the game, so to speak. So how do you give this guy any credibility when he's telling us how to direct foreign policy, and much less advocating that our best friend and non-ally in the Middle East should be using nuclear weapons that they have not disclosed and have not signed the nuclear nonproliferation treaty? There's severe penalties for this. And Israel needs to be taken to task if what Colin Powell and Lindsey Graham say is true, that Israel really has them. Well, you know, pretty much anybody who's in the know knows Israel does. They have between 300 and 400 of them. They're at Dimona or elsewhere around the world. They're on the Dolphin submarines. They're a number of places. But why does the U.S. foreign policy establishment pretend that Israel is an unarmed, un-nuclear armed nation? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me show what Lindsey is all about. It fits in with what you're just saying right now. Let me know if he can hear this.
We decided to end the war by bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons. That was the right decision. Give Israel the bombs they need to end the war they can't afford to lose.
No surprise that did not sit well across the world. Online reaction was very quick to come in, especially many people questioning his state of mind.
Lindsey Graham is throwing a tantrum. When a progressive Palestinian-American woman of color called for freedom and peace, Biden slandered her and threw her under the bus. But when far-right extremist Republican Lindsey Graham says we should drop a nuclear bomb on Palestine, Biden says nothing.
Lindsey Graham compares Gaza to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yes, really. He says Iran wants to kill all the Jews because they have $80 billion worth of oil production. He doesn't mention the $1 million he received from IPAC to be Israel's mouthpiece.
We discussed the issue with our nuclear specialist, Peter Kuznick, and he highlighted basically a number of reasons why Lindsey Graham is simply wrong and perhaps what his motives might be. Have a listen.
We're dealing with a person who's very morally, ethically, and intelligence-wise, compromised. If you look at his statement, first of all, it makes no sense. Secondly, it's historically inaccurate. And thirdly, it's morally reprehensible. So Lindsey Graham is the lowest of the low and is willing to say and do pretty much anything in order to support those who have real power. So Lindsey Graham provides a convenient and easy target for the White House and anybody else to say, you know, we might be bad, but we're not that bad. This isn't his, and Graham isn't the first Republican to do that. Tim Walberg, a Republican congressman from Michigan, had said back at the end of March that we should get it. He said, we shouldn't provide any humanitarian aid. We shouldn't build a port. He said, it should be like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, get it over quick. They have this trope in their mind, and it is beyond reprehensible.
A Palestinian.
So there you have it. Yeah, Lindsey Graham compromised with little boy having sex videos. AIPAC $500 million donations to his campaign. All of the above, or worse. What's going to happen with this guy? What's more importantly, what's going to be happening with the Republican Party? I think it's committing suicide. It's imploding from within because this madness of supporting Israel and condemning students who are on these college campuses protesting genocide, I think this is ruinous to the Republican Party.
Well, Scott, I agree. This is ruinous to the Republican Party because most Americans these days see through it. Like last week we discussed, is Israel our ally? And they, what have they done for us? Nothing. They've done absolutely nothing. But you look at our situation where Israel, the American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, pump so much money into political campaigns to buy influence, to buy our politicians. That's not the premise that our country was built on. It's one man, one vote. But 96% of the time, the guy with the most money wins the election. That's what Israel's counting on. And this is really going to come down to a question for Trump. And let's phrase it right now. And this comes down to a question for every Republican. Are you America first, or are you Israel first? And we have to stop putting American foreign policy and domestic policy interest secondary to what's good for Israel and what's good for the Jews. We have to put what's good for Americans, what's good for the American population. Trump has framed himself as a populist out here to help the working man, the working woman. If that's the case, we shouldn't be giving a dime to Israel. But like I said, the Israel Public Affairs Committee gives money to politicians. They go and vote to give money to Israel. Israel turns around and gives money back to AIPAC to give more money to politicians. And they keep this. The American taxpayers is funding the bribery via Israel and AIPAC of our own politicians who are supposed to be representing the American people. That's the real issue here. That's the real problem. And JFK, who they murdered in broad daylight on November 23rd, 1963 in Dealey Plaza, was 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, had signed an executive order requiring AIPAC's precursor to register as a foreign agent. It never happened. The executive order was signed and rescinded. So you look now at if AIPAC had to function as a foreign agent, which it is, what would be the effect on these politicians? How much money would they have to give back? What would be the effect on how they vote? And these are fundamental things that Trump needs to address. You know, I mean, I like Trump. I'm glad to see he's doing well in the polls. The lawfare that the Democrats pulled on him is backfiring, you know, 1,000%. But he needs to prove to me and to the American people that he really means put America first and not put Israel first. Show me. You know, I mean, originally I'm from Missouri, so you got to show me. The talk doesn't get it.
Well, the thing about Trump is, and it's causing, a lot of hesitation. He has, you know, when he came into 2016, and there's a lot of people that are up there saying, well, you know, he was picked by the military. There's a military group of generals and admirals that chose him. They've war gamed this out for 20 years, blah, 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 about, you know, this secret war, this invisible, you know, conflict. And Trump was picked to come in and reset the whole system. Yeah, there's a little Twilight Zone possibility of that. I don't invest in any of that stuff. I kind of just follow my instincts and always march forward. You're always marching forward. You're not stopping. You're not waiting for anybody, and you're not listening. You know, on calls, you are following, you know, going in the direction that you think and you feel and your prayers and faith is guiding you towards that leads to the liberty and the protection of the Constitution and our Republican form of government. Trump came in with a lot of fanfare and pomp and circumstance, if you will. But like McGregor said, the moment he gets in, you know, he comes in, build the wall, comes in with this throw Hillary Clinton in jail. You know, if I was president, you'd be in jail. And all of these promises that very quickly became empty, that very quickly appeared to the analytical minds, not the emotional, you know, MAGA sort of, you know, make America great. The emotional hysterics that go to football games and get drunk out of those little hats that put beer cans and straws in. Trump was up there saying all these things. And then he gets up and instead of building a wall, he goes to Obamacare and he starts trying to make good and peace with the Democrats and Paul Ryan and the rest of the neocons. And they all, you know, basically stabbing the back. And then he has the audacity to pull out of the JCPOA, shift the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, piss off every Arab Muslim country and Muslim person in the world, and fire rockets at Syria, President Bashar Assad, follow Pompeo and Nikki Haley, and murder General Soleimani, the equivalent of George Washington of Iran. And then, of course, allowed the shutdown of America, allowed the COVID-19 PSYOP to take root, participated in that PSYOP, participated in the lockdown, participated in the violation of our liberties, violation of our Constitution, enabling and encouraging these tyrannical Democrat governors like Newsom, like Megan Whitmer, like Murphy out of New Jersey, completely unconstitutional, authoritarian, tyrannical actions of trying to shut down the whole society and introducing ballot boxes for voting, you know, mail-in ballots. Trump allowed all of that. He participated in all of that. And then he gets up and he gets his ass kicked and they steal the election from him. And I know I was there. And then we gave him all the information about the AFL-CIO, about UBS, Chinese Communist Party, to General Michael Flynn, that piece of shit, who did absolutely nothing. Sidney Powell did nothing. Pat Byrne did nothing. I was there. I was working with a team of military guys. And we're like, what the hell is going on? No one's doing anything. And then the January 6th thing rolled back, rolled in, like we said it was going to, like we predicted and like we presented it was going to. And that turned into the great PSYOP, the great pivot. Now every MAGA Republican becomes a insurrectionist, some of which have been thrown in jail for, what, 18 years, and some are still in there waiting trial or whatever. And Trump doesn't do anything, and he forces everybody to get this vaccine. He didn't write an executive order protecting them. And now he's up there playing the victim, and he's running around. You know, and they are probably going to throw him in jail. They're going to violate a gag order. He's got another few cases going on. And it's very easy with a Democrat judge and a Democrat prosecutor and a Democrat jury to throw his ass in jail and kill him. So I'm even curious if he's even going to make it through the election. I personally don't think we're going to have an election. I think we're going to have some sort of a national emergency, a false flag, that will suspend everything, because the Democrats are not going to allow any kind of free election. So I'm looking at Trump just wondering, has he got any hope? And never mind the whole Israeli bend over, you know, Biden's not on Israel's side, Biden's not helping Israel. No one should be helping Israel what they're doing. They're doing a genocide, and he's even lambasting the students on the colleges, which you and I have talked about before. We don't have a lot in common with these transgender purple-haired freaks But on this particular subject, when they're standing up, looking at Israel, criticizing the genocide, we agree with them. But I'm finding more and more fault and difficulty finding agreement with Trump's position because he seems to be doing it not out of principle, but out of being told by handlers who are most likely Zionists what to do. And that is very dangerous to me. Go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. And one thing, let's clarify, let's revisit last week what we talked about with this narrative. All the major news stations, including OAN and including Newsmax, are saying that the students are supporting Hamas. They're not supporting Hamas. They're protesting to end the genocide. It has nothing to do with Hamas. And they're trying to create linkage to Hamas, which has been identified by the State Department as a terrorist organization, when it was founded by the CIA and the Israeli Mossad to divert support from the Palestine Liberation Organization run by Yasser Arafat. So it really is a CIA Mossad creation that they're using now as a terrorist outlet and trying to divert the attention from the genocide that Israel has committed. And that is what the students are protesting. That is what I would be protesting if I was on campus. I'm not supporting Hamas. I'm against Israeli genocide, period. End of sentence. So
Well,
the
you know, here's one of the things that they're doing. This is a video of Israeli this is a truck that was trying to get to the Palestinians, and these are all Jews throwing off the supplies. They're yarmulkes. Laughing. Throwing off supplies. Oh, yeah, there's a little red-headed Jew putting his hand on his head. Yeah, he's got to keep his yarmulke on.
Well, the ones that aren't bald-headed usually use bobby pins to keep them in place.
Well, it's disgusting. It's disgusting and it's infuriating. And the only thing that's more infuriating is that the Republican Party have sold their souls for the 30 pieces of silver or the $500,000 that comes from AIPAC, such as Mike Johnson and Lindsey Graham and Wahlberg and God knows how many of these other people that are up there spouting this Zionist Talmudist trope. But Mike, I look at this from a spiritual kaleidoscope point of view as. You know, these things are moving and changing and evolving. I see, and I want to get your feedback on what you see, but I see this Republican Party turning mad, turning Lindsey Graham phagotosis mad, sneering and spitting and growling and they think the louder they get, the more intimidating they are. They aren't. They just become laughable fools and actually get the American people riled up. But this kaleidoscope that's moving, it just seems to be setting Washington up to be I don't know, completely isolated by the rest of the states, cut off from the rest of the states, the emergence of a new republic.
Well, the common thing here, Scott, is that the Democrats are not supporting the Israel genocide, and the students and the body politic in the red states is not supporting the Israel genocide. There's a few exceptions out there, mostly evangelical Zionist Christians, that support Israel no matter what because the Scofield Bible told them to. But it's really creating a line of demarcation. And now we have an identifier. For all of our politicians here, left and right, said if you're America first, you don't support Israel. They're a liability to us. They're not an aide. They're not a friend. They're not an ally. They're nothing. They're a liability, and they cost us a lot of money. And so now we have something to vote out people based on a sound decision that they're not America first. They're not doing the job they're paid to do to represent the people of this country. They're doing the job they're bribed to do on behalf of Israel. And just because it's legalized through political donations doesn't mean it's not bribery, because it is. I mean, if Lindsey Graham's getting $1 million just from AIPAC, how many other Jewish Israeli supporting organizations is he getting? How many more millions from? And so, you know, there's more than just AIPAC. There's over 25 Jewish dedicated Israel supporting organizations out there that make political contributions to build these war chests for these guys. And the little known secret about campaign contributions, if you're a sitting senator or congressman and you've got excess funds in your campaign committee, when you retire, you get to keep the money. You don't have to give it back, and you don't have to pay taxes on it. It's yours to pocket and keep, invest and spend any way you want to. So when it may be legal, but it's bribery nonetheless. I mean, lost your sound.
This is another thing when you mentioned the students protesting. This is one of the reasons that students are protesting. They're protesting the bearing of little children and killing little children. Here's one that just came out. And the Israelis have shut down Al Jazeera as a result. Where did my mom go?
That's a toddler. That's a little kid. That is no threat to anyone, that child. You know, but Israel cannot, they shut Al Jazeera down because Israel cannot have that kind of footage getting out about that's who they're killing. And you look at what is it up to, 39,000 people killed, two-thirds of them women and children. These are not terrorists. These are little kids and pregnant women. And you know, Israel can't stand for the truth. Now, then you look at the Israelis on the previous clip you played there. They're destroying the supplies, trying to lead to more deprivation, starvation within Gaza. The bottom line is the Israelis want the real estate. They want the mineral rights to the oil and gas. They want the beachfront property so they can build some multi-million dollar homes down there and move all their criminal cronies in and expand their territory. They're doing right now. This is another Nakba. And like I said last week on the first Nakba, they killed 750,000 Palestinians and displaced millions into Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, other places where they had to flee in order not to be murdered by these Jew zealots. You know, they're just crazy people. That is their Khazarian business model: kill people, steal their property. That's it. And you wonder why they're rich.
Well, you know, the other thing I've been thinking about, Mike, you know, since this began on October, 7th, the great PSYOP, and I think it was a false flag. I think it was the Twin Towers, 9/11 all over again, where Netanyahu, who was about to be swinging from a rope, did this pivot and you know, this invention of a Hamas invasion. And I don't agree with Ritter when he's, up there saying, well, they just got, caught off guard and this, they just dropped the ball. I don't buy that. I think this was a planned operation to trigger this event. And I, that's the other thing. Let me just say real quick. I don't trust anyone and I don't listen to anyone fully. Not McGregor, not Ritter, not Napolitano, not Sox, not any of these people. If they don't have the balls to stand up and say the 9/11 events, the 9/11 attacks were a false flag, self-inflicted, Israeli CIA operation against the United States, unless they're willing to say that, they're gutless wonders who just chisel out a part of the story to become experts on. But that is not what set us down this path. That wasn't the first domino to fall. 9/11 was. And we always have to come back to 9/11. The 9/11 attacks were a false flag attack upon the United States, done by the United States, done by the CIA, done by the Israeli Mossad, done by, I'll let you be the expert. You know it a little bit better than I do in a lot of ways. This initiated this juggernaut, which has totally overextended the United States, ruined our reputation, destroyed our image in the rest of the world, overnight transformed us from a republic to a maniacal, cannibalistic werewolf empire, where Dick Armitage, that other traitor, treasonous son of a bitch from who was running drugs out of Vietnam, who was the Undersecretary of State in 2001, went around to Musharraf in Pakistan and everywhere and said, "You know, you've got to stand with us. You know, this is the new era." And we've launched this 9/11 checker game. But ultimately, after 20 years, Mike, you and I were old enough to go, "Yeah, we initiated this fight, but it's ruined and destroyed us." The torpedo that we fired, thinking it was going to blow up every Muslim country, is actually turned around and is blowing us up. But unless people openly and declare and with facts and with logic this 9/11 narrative, then they're really not worth listening to, because in their hearts they are cowards, more interested in their own bottom line, their own media gig with whatever the TV channels are that they pop on, whether it's RT or others. I would just always say we have to come back to 9/11, and anybody unwilling to come back to 9/11 is either a fool or a coward. I'll put it to you. Go ahead.
Well, I absolutely agree, and our country is going to continue in its decline until the real perpetrators of 9/11 are brought to justice. And I don't care if they're brought to justice with a bullet in the back of the head with no trial, but these people need to be held accountable for what they did to this country and the damage they've caused globally because of this. And I'm 100% on board that this was an Israeli operation. Follow the money. And you look at our government, you know, I mean, if you look at it then, you look at it now, look at how many Israeli dual citizens occupy cabinet positions, senior level SES positions, 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, they're everywhere. And the reason nobody breaks the narrative is the media is controlled by Zionists as well. And you know they've got complete control over it. And the reason nobody talks, there's no whistleblowers on this, is because they're all in on it. They're all part of it. They're all part of it. They're all part of the cover up. And I mean, you look at these things, and you look at this guy Chertoff, who they put in front of head of Homeland Security. Do you think he didn't do his best to cover it up? I mean, look at all of these people who were involved and who were accountable during that era and the cover-up afterwards, leading to the Gulf War, leading to the invasion of and occupation of Afghanistan, and it all points to the same direction. The American people need to wake up and get wise and figure out that Israel did this to us. They had help. Dick Cheney was in on it. And his daughter, through the January 6th committee, was protecting him by trying to obfuscate the real election, the real results. So we're in deep shit in this country. I mean, I sent you that paper, that white paper I wrote for the Russians, outlining why the Russians objected to the U.S. space treaty and why the U.S. will not sign their version of the space treaty, is because our industry, our private economy, is controlled by people of the same tribe. They're all Khazarians. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. They own at least 5% of every publicly traded company. They have influence on the board, and they can select who the CEO is going to be. If the CEO doesn't play ball with them, they're out. And so that's what's going on in this country. We have lost our country. Our
Yes.
private enterprise is compromised. Our government is compromised. Our educational institutions are compromised. Our courts are compromised. We do not have any course to redress our grievances short of a civil war where we kill all these bastards.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to die. They're going to die. There's no winners in this. But we cannot continue on the path we are on because we will not have a country. We have to do something, and soon.
Here's the path we're on, Mike.
Yeah.
I'll let you choose which character we are and which one is chasing us. But it leads us into the transition, the segue of Russia. We've got
the Russian bear. That's a big one.
That's a big bear, man. And people are too short-sighted or dumb to recognize and translate it. That's a fat, tattooed, purple-haired, obviously disgustingly liberal Democrat woman, maybe a transgender with breast implants, replicating Michelle Obama, being chased by the grizzly bear. And it's so fitting on so many different levels. Only the other thing is, Mike, on this image, it's running away from the bear. America's not running away from the bear. It's like we're suicidally running at the bear with a hot poker or some sort of provocative device just to piss the bear off. And you wonder, what does a bear do when it's really pissed off at you and when it senses you're a threat? I think we're going to be finding out very, very shortly. And I'll let you elaborate. We've got the Belgorod attack, another terrorist attack where the Ukrainians use HIMAR missiles, fire them at an apartment complex, civilian apartment complex in Belgorod on Sunday. On the anniversary of Donetsk and Lugansk declaring their independent republics, and you're killing like 15 innocent civilians, a bunch of children too, and wounding people. But this whole NATO US provocation, it just seems Russia is about to throw the gloves off and just tear. Like, remember the scene from The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio when he got tore up by the bear? That's what I see coming to America. But I'll put it to you to predict.
Well, we shall see. But there's a joke about that. And the two guys are walking through the woods and they come across a bear. One guy starts to run. The other one says, "You can't outrun a bear." He goes, "I don't have to. I've outrun you." So we have to outrun the Democrats and the liberals and the Jews, so the bear gets them, not us. So there's a connection there. We have to stay on just ahead of them. Now, what do we do within our country? I mean, we're, like I said, our institutions, whether it's private enterprise, government, academia, the courts, the media, everything is compromised and controlled. They have really closed up the United States. We are essentially functioning as the Soviet Union did in the 1950s. Yeah. That's about as much freedom as we have. And they're closing the grip. They're getting more and more control of us. They want to implement a digital currency and retire the dollar. All these cute little things. I mean, it started out with just, getting a pat down when you go to the airport and going through the metal detectors. And it's getting more and more intense. And you can see, if you look back in history, you can see how they gradually started slowly with their control over the people. And as you go through the decades, starting started in 1990. And I remember the first time going through an airport where I was pulled out and asked to be searched. I said, "What for?" I said, "You're going to search me for what?" "We have to check for terrorists." I said, "Do I look like a friggin' terrorist? Do I look Arabic? Do I look like I'm on sound?" I said, "Well, I'm wearing a business suit, an expensive one at that, had a briefcase." And the cop says, "Why are you giving this girl a hard time? She's doing her job." I said, "Because I've got rights in this country. I have the right, the Fourth Amendment, unlawful search and seizure. That's why I'm giving her a hard time. And she may be doing a job, but she's doing it on me." Mm-hmm. And, I don't want to sit still for that, but it's only gotten worse the further we go down this path. One of the gravest things that happened after 9/11 was the Patriot Act, and they keep renewing it. The Patriot Act was 2001. It was already drafted. They had it ready. They just renewed it November, December. They redid the whole thing. We got another 5 years to live with this tyranny now, that allows them to break in your home, arrest you without cause, spirit you away, not charge you, and just disappear you. I mean, they have created the legal structure and framework to set up a Soviet-style gulag system, and we've done nothing about it. Well, they haven't really used it yet. We're starting to see that with January 6th. We're starting to see that's the first evidence that the gulag system exists and how it's being utilized. But it's going to spread, and it's going to spread widely. And so I'm going to recommend everybody read Solzhenitsyn, read Gulag Archipelago, and read the chapter The Arrest. If they come to get you, do not go peacefully. You know, if you have to grab, you know, a kitchen fork and stab them in the eye, do it. Resist. Make them pay a price for taking your freedom. And if everybody does that, there's more of us than there are of them. You know, how many people voted for Trump? What, 50, 60 million? If they don't have that, those kind of numbers. If one out of a 10 of us injures one of their goons coming to arrest us, they run out of people before they arrest us all. Okay, do the math. It's there. But we have to be prepared for this stuff because this is what's coming. The Khazarian Mafia, also known as, you know, Judea International, controls our country. They have bought our politicians. It's evidence. Anybody who is voting for aid to Israel has been bought and paid for. Listen to Lindsey Graham, bought and paid for by Israel. And they want their, they have an investment in Lindsey, and they want that investment to perform for them. And so he did. He advocated nuking Gaza. So this is how it works. I sent you those articles. Guess who else is involved in Gaza right now? Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is already putting together a plan to be selling beachfront properties, condominiums, on the beach in Gaza. He's going to be the developer to go in there and make that into a showplace. And so this is what's going on. The Jews go in, they kill people, they steal their property, and then they redevelop it and resell it and make money all the way through. It's why they're rich. So they don't produce anything. They don't create anything. They're liars and thieves and name stealers. It's what they do.
Well, you know, the Nakba, right? We remember the Nakba from
Yes,
1948.
1948.
Give people an assessment of what that was who may not know. Well, let me play this. Here we go. This is the other thing that's interesting coming up, Mike. This is all of the materials that Russia has presented to the United Nations about the United States and its involvement with a COVID-19 pathogen that was developed in Ukraine that can be directly connected back to the coronavirus and lockdown and all of this stuff. These are from the biochemical labs that were raided in Ukraine when Russia went in. And they found all of these documents, and they assembled all of these documents. Right here, you have James or Jason Crow, member of the U.S. House Intelligence Committee. Intelligence Committee members warn U.S. of bioweapons targeting DNA of individual American citizens. All of these were being done in Ukraine by the U.S. This is one slide. This is another one showing the locations of the biochemical labs that the United States established in Ukraine from 2007, 8 onward, one of which was Metabiota, which before that was called Global Viral Forecasting Institute. These are the drugs, of course, that the U.S. Department of Defense has been giving to the Ukrainian soldiers. This is another slide of all the activities that the U.S., the CDC, USAID, CIA, NATO, United Nations, they've all been in Ukraine doing bioweapons development. And there's the slide again. And this was a good one, too. The investors, Hunter Biden, the investment fund, Rosemont Seneca. Rosemont Seneca, of course, had Mitt Romney's son, Nancy Pelosi's son, Hunter Biden, George Soros is on there, the Open Society Foundation. This is Metabiota, right? Metabiota was Global Viral Forecasting Institute before. Black and Veatch, all of these organizations. Here's the U.S. government. U.S. Democrat Party. Doesn't have Republican Party, Mike. It has the U.S. Democratic Party. These are the contractors, government agencies, political organizations. United States Department of State, Department of Defense, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, Walter Reed, United States Army Medical Command. We could go on.
Fort Detrick.
Fort Detrick. This was a good slide. This is one of my favorites. So U.S. coordination of biological laboratories and research institutes in Ukraine. Up here you have the government entities, Department of Defense, CDC, CIA, Department of State, USAID, a whole group of them. And they come down here and they plug into these NGO sponsors, the Soros Foundation, the Open Society Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, blah, blah, blah. Then you come in here to the agencies of Ukraine that are really puppets of the United States. Big Pharma, right up here. Pfizer, Eli Lilly, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, which just pulled its, admitted to pulling its vaccine because of blood clots. And here you have Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Soros, Soros's son that is implicated in a lot of this, and the U.S. Democrat Party. These are the slides that Russia has presented to the United Nations when they went into these biolabs and found a trove of documents, and they've been gathering these since 2018. 2018, and these are the plans they had to drop. And there's a Ukrainian drone flyer that was going to be dropping these weapons by aerosol upon the Russians. But I mention all that, Mike, just to say, do you think we're heading into another scenario of another pandemic, another claim of a sickness, some other COVID-20 or COVID-22, or what they're going to do to disrupt the election of this year? Because I don't think they're going to have an election. I don't think the United States is going to have an election. I think we're going to have major events that usher in an authoritarian, lockdown.
Well, Scott, I think the disease this season is going to be the H1N5 bird flu. They're already saying the bird flu has crossed into cattle. It's in milk that you can buy in stores. It's in wastewater treatment plants. They're trying to set the stage for the next flu pandemic, which is going to be much faster acting and much more devastating than COVID is. But I want to go back to Trump for a minute because... Yeah. You know, he allowed this all to happen with his Operation Warp Speed to get these vaccines out there that Deborah Birx has come out and, or Birx, whatever her name is, has come out and said, well, we knew they weren't going to prevent the spread. We knew they weren't going to prevent you from catching it. You know, you have this totally worthless vaccine, and it's not a vaccine at all. It alters your DNA. It's an mRNA. It's a messenger RNA compound that they sold as a vaccine to keep you safe. If anybody tells me they're going to keep me safe, I'm going to punch them in the fucking head because that means they're here to kill me. It's here for your safety. It's here to keep you safe. Yeah, yuck foo. Ain't buying it. But, Trump, this all comes down to him because he promoted this. He short-circuited the approval process. So we had experimental mRNA with a calling a vaccine. Offered to the American public that was not safe, it was not effective, it didn't do what it's supposed to do, and it's damaged people. It's got heart disease, myocarditis, turbo cancers. It's compromising immune systems. It's done all this. And Trump is still not distancing himself from that, saying, well, I was misled by Fauci and Birx. I was misled. He still has not done that. He still wears that on his chest like it's a medal of honor. When really it's one of his worst crimes, one of the worst things he's done to the American people. And the death numbers on the vaccine, people who took the vaccine are increasing exponentially. As time goes by, more and more of these people are going to be dying, dropping off, getting sick and or unable to work. He forced it upon our military, so our military is not fully functional right now. They're not making their recruiting goals. There's just a number of problems there. But, you know, until Trump comes back and says, hey, I was misled, I was deceived. If he truly was, he may take that as a defense when really he was in on it. But there's no excuse. We have processes in place, and having an emergency does not mean you abandon the process. The process is there to prevent emergencies. And so they took a bad situation, this fake COVID thing that they invented, and they made it worse by vaccinating people, destroying their immune systems, inducing cancers and heart disease. So enough on that. But Trump has to own that.
Well, that's really the biggest issue, Mike, because I remember John Michael Chambers, who I worked with at American Media Periscope before I found out that it was a Zionist a Talmudist infected organization. But he and among other, I think, liars and traitors were always popping off about, well, he had to do it, we had to do this because, we would have been in lockdown for 10 years and the Democrats would have enslaved us. So he beat them to a punch. And I said, bullshit. The American people, and they when they feel that they're being pushed over a cliff, will stand up and push back, and they will fight to the death. And this whole COVID thing was entirely Trump's doing. And it should be hung around his neck like a rubber tire set on fire. It should be. Because unless he does the mea culpa, unless he says exactly what you said, then he's never going to say it, and he'll do worse the next time. I don't buy into this, five-dimensional chess, QAnon, there's a plan within a plan within a plan. I don't believe it. We don't need plans. We don't need politicians with plans within plans. The American people have the Constitution, and the job of a politician is to preserve the Constitution and the rights therein. And instead, like you said, we have annihilated how many millions of people? Trump has annihilated, and we wrote the executive order, and when we were back there in November of 2020, that he should have signed, and he didn't. That would have said no American will ever be forced to get a vaccine, any kind of a vaccine, never mind experimental. All of this, Mike, I think we're heading up to the fall of Rome. And I'll put it to you: how do you see the collapse of the United States and then the reorganization of the United States transpiring? I think it's going to be region by region, state by state, county by county, town by town, and conservatives are going to separate themselves from the liberal leftists, and it'll be separated by gunpowder and flying projectiles if need be, but they will not be surrendering to the tyranny of the Democrat mob.
Well, we're going to have a fracturing of all these systems, and we've been made dependent on so many of them. Everything from Social Security for older people to EBT cards for younger people. When those things disappear and are not available any longer, your people are going to have to really figure out what to do, how to survive. Old people, a lot of them are going to die off, just plain and simple. Young people can go fight and scrap and steal and rob and do things to try to survive a little longer, but it's going to be really dicey out there. But the government system, the hospitals are already starting to collapse because of the immigrant population, the illegal alien population that is burdening them. Our educational institutions are failing. Grade schools, high schools. How do you conduct a high school class when you've got all these new people in here, all these new kids in here that don't speak the language, and you don't have the bandwidth or the wherewithal to educate them or pretend to educate, not even educate, babysit them. How do you babysit them? And, like I said, the hospitals, these illegal aliens, they don't pay their hospital bills. They can't be refused service because if they go to the emergency room, I don't care if you've got a hangnail, they've got to treat you. You can't be turned away. And so when there's so much debt to that hospital that it can't keep the lights on, it shuts down. And our healthcare system collapses. The inner cities are going to collapse even further. The EBT cards, how many people out there depend on their EBT card to eat. A lot of them, it's close to 40 million. And so what do you do when you have 40 million people who are now starving? Then you have another 40, 60 million people who are over 65 who live on their Social Security check, don't have anything else coming in. How are they going to survive? What are they going to do? Well, they're not young and vigorous like these the youth in the city who go out and rob and steal. What are they going to do? How are they going to survive? They're going to die off. They're going to starve to death. They're not going to pay their rent. They're going to be homeless. They're going to be in the street. That's how our country is going to come apart because over time, these systems have built dependencies upon them. These inner city kids have no idea where chicken comes from. They just go to McDonald's to order chicken nuggets. Okay? They don't have any idea. If you gave them a live chicken, they wouldn't know what to do with it. They wouldn't know how to get the feathers off. They wouldn't know how to clean it so you can cook it. They have no idea. And if they had 20 live chickens, they wouldn't know how to keep them alive. They wouldn't know what to feed them. They wouldn't know how to feed them. They wouldn't know how to catch the damn things. They're hard to catch, by the way. But they just don't have any connection to where the food comes from. All of these systems that were in place during the last Great Depression are gone now. 40% of our society back then was agrarian. It's less than 4% now. It's been a 90% reduction. And so you've got 96% of the people out there that have no connection to the land and no connection to how to produce their own food. So all of these things are going to lead to a lot of violence just to stay alive, just to try to find a meal to eat. When you haven't eaten in 3 days and you see some guy with a peanut butter sandwich, you're going to go over and beat him up and take it, or kill him and take it because you're that hungry. And that's the thing about it. If you've ever fasted, the first 3 days are tough. After
Well,
that, your body kind of acclimates to it, but you can't go more than 3 or 4 weeks, and you're done.
this was I gotta show this video. It has a resonance with what you're saying, but it's hilarious. Watch this.
Solution. Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions, young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions,
All right, that was enough. But it was
No,
just it
first of
young
all,
black kids growing up in the Bronx. Sorry, go ahead.
She's an idiot because you know what? Your cell phone you hold in your hand is a more powerful computer than went on the Apollo missions, okay? It's got more computing power in there. These kids know exactly how to work a computer. They may not be fluent in MS-DOS, but any Windows or intuitive operating system, they can work their way through it. They can go online. They can do drug deals. They can, get hookers to come over. They can do all kinds of stuff with their computers. So don't tell me they don't know how to use them. That's a bunch of BS.
Well, see,
So,
that's what we're, that's what these Democrats represent, though, and this arrogant mindset, this arrogant delusion is totalitarian, authoritarian. I mean, these women governors, women United Nations, women European Union, Ursula von Leyen, Liz Truss, women in these political positions are the worst curse on society. I'll say it again. Women in these political positions have been the worst curse of society. And good women will agree with me. Those who say, well, we want our rights. Yeah, women should have equal pay. Screw off. You don't know what you're talking about because life on earth is not about women or men. It's about men and women living under God's creation and creating life. We have made life in the last 100 years increasingly despotic and I would say completely polluted with insanity. And a lot of it is because of women going into these political positions of being sensitive and equal rights and all of this stuff and beta males coming in and encouraging them. And I think it's absolutely the ruin. Look at Ursula von Leyen. Look at these women in the European. Look at Annalisa Baerbock. They're playing with war against Russia. They're playing with genocide in Gaza. And they're playing with civil war, revolutionary war in America. And quite frankly, I think the quicker America accelerates into a complete break, where you're right, what you said before, hospitals can't, you know, can't treat everybody, but they have to. No, that's where men with guns go in and say, no, 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 no. We're sponsoring this hospital. We're sponsoring these doctors. This is our community hospital, and we will choose who comes in and gets treated and who does not. No illegal aliens, don't show up. This school is in our community. No illegal aliens in our schools, don't show up. And it's going to be have to be backed by lead, because otherwise we are going to have a fall of Rome. And anyone, and especially women, who think that they can negotiate and have some sort of ambassadorial diplomatic discussion to settle the differences, don't know war. And they certainly don't know the ravaging of a barbarian horde times a thousand or a million that is coming up into the United States. And I'll end it there, but hand it back to you, Mike, to see how do you see, you know, this I mean, again, the complete meltdown and dereliction having to be reformed. I think violence is fire that often purifies the soil to make it able to regrow fresh life and fresh civilization.
Well, let's go back to the issue of women in politics. It took them 100 years to get from allowing women to vote, 100 plus, to where we are now, where women are driving the car off the cliff.
Yes.
You know, that's it's taken a long time. This is not a quick sell. This is what Mao referred to as the long march. And it's been the long march to get them involved and active in politics. So it didn't happen quickly. But you are correct, because the biggest complaint, and the blacks are the ones who have keyed into this the most, is the Negro population, the black people. And that is that these people are here and they've put nothing into the system. And so why do they get to access the hospital? Why do they get benefits? Why do their kids get to go to the schools that are already overcrowded? Why are they taking resources from our community? You know, that is their complaint. Well, that's been the white people's complaint about the blacks for a long time as well. And so these liberal ideas that infect the body politic. If we wanted to run this country right for the benefit of the American people, we'd be doing a lot of things very differently than the structure that we currently have. And so it's time. Your other question was, is what is this going to look like coming out of this? Is we're going to have the opportunity to rebuild our society from the ground up and to reinvent our institutions and to be able to set markers on there. And let's go simple things like voting. We're having elections coming up. Why does everybody get to have one vote? If you've got a higher IQ, than the retarded guy down the street who shouldn't be voting at all because he doesn't understand the issues and is not educated and does not understand what's at stake, but merely making an emotional reaction because he likes the color of that candidate's posters better than the color of the other candidate's posters.
Good point.
So these people shouldn't be allowed to vote, but yet in this system they are. And the people who have higher IQs, maybe they get two votes or five votes or 10 votes. Maybe that the amount of votes you pay should be represented by the amount of tax you pay. Mm-hmm. If you're under a poverty level or if you're on public assistance, why should you have a vote to vote in some politician that's going to increase your EBT allowance every week? But if you're the taxpayer and you're successful and you're paying $1 million a year in taxes, maybe you get more votes than the guy who's only putting in, you know, $10,000-$15,000 a year in tax revenue. If you're paying, you know, $100,000-$200,000 in tax revenue, we have the chance to redesign and rethink all of these systems coming up, and it's going to have to begin at the local level. And the models that are successful will be the ones that blossom and flourish and take root. The ones that are not successful will be the ones that fail. I mean, you look at how this country was started in the colonies, and how many of the colonies failed because they well, we're all going to share the crop. Well, you got four guys working and 10 guys sitting in the shade over there, and they didn't produce enough to feed everybody. How many of them starved in the wintertime? So, you know, the models that succeed are the ones that are working. And so we have the chance. We're going to have, we've got, what, 3,400 counties coast to coast, you know, in the U.S. Every county will have a chance to put their own systems in to run their county. And so, like I said, the ones that work will succeed, and the ones that don't will fail. And so we're going to see where the successful models are and what works and what doesn't. So it's going to be one grand social experiment on one way or another.
You know, and Mike, I can't help but sensing that militancy and military discipline, and we've talked about this before, the officer, you know, sergeant intensity, that there's no, you know, when you step off a bus and go into basic training, it's not a it's not a mutual discussion. It's not a debate. It's not a, well, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to do that march. I don't want to do that many pull-ups. You know, I don't want to, I don't want to go through.
I don't feel like the 12-mile ruck today. Thank you.
And it sounds, you know, joking because we've been through it. But honestly, I sense we're moving this direction where real men of action, and I'll put it this way, and we you know, our natures, we have to follow our natures and let our natures express itself within civilized contexts and restrictions and limitations, of course. But our natures are moving in a direction where, like we said before, you are going to have to rise up with violence, weapons, teamwork, intensity, survival, and no compromise, no retreat, no surrender, no apologies. That doesn't mean you're Genghis Khan going on a slaughter, rape, and pillage. Conservatives don't do that. Christians don't do that. And I'm just speaking, you know, you know, for myself. But then there are, you know, there are other conservatives too that may not have any religious connection, and that's fine. I don't care if you're a Hindu or you're a Buddhist or you're a Muslim. You know, your religious propensity is your own. But if you're firing at my enemy, you're my friend. If you're, you know, protecting the integrity of marriage and family and against the sexual transgenderism, you're my friend. And we have to move in a direction, Mike, where we don't have any tolerance for this liberal leftist compromise mindset that started decades ago, that has come into full bloom now. And the full bloom is madness, insanity, transgenderism, climate change, bug eating, outlawing of meat, growing cancer meat, you know, and having big government agencies. We played it before, the 25 things that are destroying America. All of these 25 things we've allowed to take root. We've allowed to blossom instead of hacking them down. And I'll end it by saying we need to be prepared and mentally prepared to hack down and destroy these things that are going to be tried to force upon us. And I want to just accentuate that. People need to be mentally prepared to hack down and be violent against those who are going to try and be violent against you. It's violent when someone comes up to you in a Starbucks and says, you have to put on a mask. What do you do? Do you respond by putting it on? Do you respond by being quiet? Or do you respond with an equal loud violence and shout to a level that they run out the door like I did? Mike, I'll put it to you to define how people need to understand how violence and rhetorical loud discipline and intensity is a necessity to survival, political, social, economic, what have you.
Well, let's take it a step backwards, Scott, because everything you articulated, all the characteristics and all the traits that must be developed already exist in our society today. But you know where they exist at? In the drug cartels and in the criminal gangs. That's where those traits exist today. That's where those traits are functioning, and that's where they're utilized. And these people are disciplined because they know that if they get out of line, if they don't hold their line, they'll be killed by their superiors. And that is who we're going to have to contend with, because they could be the usurpers who run this whole friggin' country, because they've got the discipline and the structure in place today to do everything you just said. So that's it. We have allowed our success has made us soft. It has ruined this country, because we have been so successful and so safe and so secure that we have not had to root hog or die for a while. And so that is going to be the big test. Now, the only counterbalance to them being successful and taking over the whole country is, can we adapt quick enough to what they're going to do and try to impose upon us when that opportunity happens? That's the key. And like I said, a week or two ago, I guess it was, when you're put in a situation where you have to protect yourself, your friends, your family, you'd better be willing to throw the punch or pull the trigger. And you can't hesitate, because you will be done. You think these cartel guys hesitate? They do not. MS-13 will hack you up, just to make an example of you, cut you in 50 pieces and leave you in the street. These are the people who have the brutality and the discipline to inflict their will. And I am highly confident that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward.
I mean, that's a very good point. They do have the brutality. They have the mindset. They have a kill or be killed attitude. They don't have any mercy for transgender, purple-haired, safe space, liberal, white bread, whatever you want to classify these cancerous social retards that occupy much of America. They don't have any tolerance for that. And yet we're infected with them, and we're infected with the retard light as well. And those are those people who just want to go along to get along, and they just kind of stumble through this. They don't really possess any deadly seriousness. And
Scott, you inspired me to put a coexist bumper sticker on my truck. You know the ones I'm talking about, right?
yeah, I know. I've seen those. I trust me, every time I see bumper sticker type cars like that, I don't lose it, but part of me
I
does.
have to put that on my Prius. That's what I have to do. I put it on my Prius.
Well, the other thing I'll close it too. We left. We started out with the analysis of Russia and Ukraine and all of that stuff, but Russia has gone through a major transformation. You've got Vladimir Putin has been reelected. We've got the shuffling of the Russian government with different persons being assigned to different positions. We've got Russia going into the good weather. So Ukraine is going. I had an interview today with Johnny Tree, who was over there, an Australian journalist who's been all over to Belgorod, Donetsk. He's seen all the bombing and stuff. He's been around the Russians. And you have a transformation of Russian society that we've never seen before in the West. And it seems like, I mean, I understand it. You understand it better than most. You know people intimately there. But the majority of the West don't seem to really understand, again, that image of the grizzly bear fighting the big, fat, ugly, purple-haired Karen. They don't understand. Russia doesn't bluff. Russia doesn't compromise. Russia is a Christian society. Russia is a free society. Russia won the hearts and minds of the world. Oh, I wanted to mention too, Africa. I'll end it with this and hand it for you. Africa has gone to Russia entirely. No one likes the United States anymore. And I
Yes.
don't say that with celebration, but the United States and Africa Command, which we created, I mean, personally, when I was at Booz Allen Hamilton, Ian Brzezinski and Zbigniew Brzezinski were behind Africa Command. And now Niger has said, get out. We don't want you. Get out. And we don't want your planes. No planes from the United States will be allowed to set down in Niger. So it creates a great opportunity for public relations for Russia to come in and rescue these Americans that are stuck on the base and say, nah, we'll fly you out since No one's allowing your planes to land anymore. But it seems like the whole chessboard is shifting into Russia's favor, not because they're great, but because we're so bad, clumsy, stupid, or demonically deluded that we're doing it to ourselves. But, Michael, I'll hand it to you to give us your assessment of the Russian situation in Africa.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say a couple of things. A follow-up, like last week I told you that Kharkov was going to fall and that the Ukrainians were in retreat. When this started, the front was 1,000 kilometers. Last week, it was 800 kilometers. This week, it's less than 600 kilometers. They're closing in on Kharkov. Now, I'm looking for Kharkov to be a little misdirection. I'm looking for them to go down to Odessa and cut that off, cut off their only remaining seaport, so they will be landlocked completely then. And so there'll be no nothing coming in or out via that route. So then everything will have to come in through Poland via rail, which is easily handled, much easier than a seaport. So that's one thing. Putin just rearranged his whole cabinet. He put an economist in charge of the Department of Defense and took his defense head Shugan and put him into national security senior position. Total national security. So they're going to be integrating their war economy into their general economy, including oil and everything. So look for a far more comprehensive Russian economy being developed here in pretty short order. Give it 3 to 5 years, and it's not going to look the same as it does today. So those are things that are going on that are real time. And really, Russia today looks to me like the U.S. did post-World War II.
Yes.
Just before the Korean War started, where your economy is going to grow, but they still have the engine of this Ukraine special police operation to contend with. It's really going to depend on what NATO does. Now, we discussed what would happen, that Putin can strike any place in Europe. Nothing is off limits, the decision centers. It's going to depend if the U.S. Arms Ukraine or deploys U.S. tactical nukes against Russia in Russia's territory. That's going to determine how quickly this escalates, because if they do that, then it's all bets are off, because Russia is going to retaliate brutally to that. They will destroy the decision centers. I mean, look for London and D.C. to be vaporized if they do that. Because they're not screwing around. Russia is fighting for its existence.
Yes.
And if I don't know people if they know who Edgar Cayce is, but he was the guy who predicted that Russia is going to save the world. They're going to be the savior of the world. And I think that is forming up and getting more and more possible. Right now, there's only a few countries that are outside of the Western banking system. They're Russia, Iran, Belarus, North Korea, I forget who else, but with more countries joining the BRICS, they're going to be aligning with the Russian side and the Iranian side of that equation, and they're going to be leaving the Western financial system. On the U.S. side, the only ones we can really count on are Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Everybody else is going to abandon us. And so the Five Eye countries are really the only ones that we can count on. And I don't know how long we can count on them for. I've been expecting Germany to pivot toward Russia since they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline.
Yeah.
It's just that the Jewish influence has kept Germany under their thumb so long. But I'm really expecting 2 years from now, we're not going to recognize the global situation at all. It's going to be completely different. And it's all because our government has been infiltrated by these Khazarian Zionist Jews who, as always, overplay their hand and have stripped us of our position as free Americans, starting in 9/11 and rendering us. We've not hit the bottom of the barrel yet. We rock bottom is still another 8 or 10 feet below where we're going to
go.
But they are the ones who are driving us into rock bottom. And it's because of their arrogance, their hubris, their greed, wanting to control the whole world. Oh, China was the other one. China's is going is a big one on there. That they're immune from the Western banking system, and so there's a lot going on with the financial structure of the planet and the military structure of the planet. And the U.S. has lost its position as the preemptive power, military power in the world, in spite of spending $886 billion a year that they're just pissing away. I mean, the Russians produce far more effective platforms. I mean, if you read that paper I sent you, you know how much money this F-35 program is costing? $1.7 trillion over the life of the program, which is, what, 5% of our national debt on one weapons program? Are you kidding me? This is crazy stuff. The Russian platforms outperform anything the US can make, and they do it for 10, 15 cents on the dollar compared to what we spend. It's sad. But look for these major changes. Ukraine is lost. It's just going to depend on where Putin wants to stop and if the NATO forces, including the US, are stupid enough to try to use tactical nukes to stop the Russians. If they do, they're not going to get their nose bloodied. They're gonna take a beating like they've never had before in their life.
Yes.
They're not going to know what to do. And the losers on all of this are the civilians, in Russia, in Ukraine, and in the entire world. You're right. Africa is lost. Africa was a U.S., British, French, cash cow. It's gone. They're evicting the West. They're out, and now they're going to the Russians and the Chinese. So it's going to be a different political world within 2 years. We're not going to recognize this.
Number one, Africa is leaving because we've been trying to send the faggot Lindsey Graham type of sexual perverse philosophy into Africa, saying you have to have rainbow flags, sodomy, transgender surgeries, and every form of sexual abomination taught to your children. And the Africans have said, no, no, Botswana, no. And they're
Well,
kicking us out.
two other points there. One of them is Africa has been used as vaccine testing central. They've used it to spread disease. That they've used it, the whole AIDS thing. Fauci was behind all of this.
Yes.
They have used Africa. And the other thing people don't realize about Africa is Africa has been the dumping ground for all the toxic waste out of Europe and a lot of North America. They've been dumped in Africa, and they're tired of it. They don't want it anymore. They see the effects that it has, and they want to be treated fairly with equity. I mean, they have the greatest mineral resources in the world, and they live in abject poverty. Well, granted, there is the IQ disparity issue, and they're easy to take advantage of, but you don't have to, abuse them. All you have to do
Yes.
is treat them with fairness and equity and respect, and you will do quite well. And that's all. It's a simple formula. I don't care if you've got an IQ of 55. You know when you're being shit on, and you know when you're being treated fairly. And that's it, it. You don't have to have a high IQ to figure that out.
Yeah, we've lost all of our soft power of charisma. I want to end it on one thing. You said something I think is potentially strategically brilliant, and it's rare that you say things like that, but I certainly want to give you full credit. I'm kidding. But you said that you suspect the Kharkov capture is could be a deflection, a ruse, and what came to mind was General Patton being positioned in the northern part of England with all sorts of inflatable tanks to pretend that they
To
were
make
going
them
to come
think he was
in.
going to Calais, not into Normandy.
Do you
And
see
so,
that? Do you see something? Because I think that's brilliant.
yes, I do.
And
I've
they're
seen
going to go
something
into
just like
Odessa.
that. And strategically, Odessa is more valuable because of it cuts off the Black Sea. It is a strategic prize. And so they're going to be fortifying Kharkov because it's the second largest city. It'd be a humiliation to lose there. It'd be like the U.S. losing Chicago or L.A. instead of New York. But it's they're going to rush. Ukraine is busy rushing their limited forces right now to fortify Kharkov. But they're going to Trust me. Trust me. Odessa, if I was Putin's planner, I would be aiming for Odessa. Let me just say that.
All right, you heard it here first. Mike Harris, as the secret General Patton, is predicting Odessa will be secretly stormed, taken over, conquered in a bait and switch, where Kharkov is the pretended target, but actually there's a superior strategic position, and that's Odessa. I would agree with you. I like Odessa, and I think that's. The other thing is Russia will eventually take over all of that and regenerate it as a south of France
Well,
environment.
the other thing that Odessa does is it buys security for Crimea,
Yes.
and their naval base in Sevastopol is
Yes.
there in Crimea. I've been there. I've seen the base. I've actually been to Crimea a couple times,
Yeah.
and it fortifies their position on the Black Sea and makes it virtually bulletproof. And it cuts off all that access, all the grain coming out of Ukraine. It's going to have to go by rail through Poland. All the weapons coming in via Odessa, they're going to be cut off. So I think that Odessa is the better, is a more attractive target. That's just my opinion. It
Mike
has more
Harris, we're almost out
benefits.
of time. I'll give it to you to give us your last final closing thoughts. Go ahead.
Oh, brace yourself, Bridget. It's gonna get sporty out there. I mean, it's gonna get sporty. So just keep your eyes and ears open, pay attention, and locally here, be situationally aware because our country is unstable right now. We've got all of these illegal aliens in this country that we don't know who they are. We don't know what they do. It's every day there's another illegal alien raping a child, killing a woman. You watch that guy with the belt choke that woman out on the TV. That was awful and brutal. But stay situationally aware, everyone, and don't hold back. If you see something like this happen to some woman or some kid, don't be afraid to go over there and just kick the shit out of this guy. And don't let him get away with it. Hold him down. I mean, hurt him. I mean, break bones. I mean, I can teach you how to break elbows. It's a thing of beauty.
Well, I mean, carry a knife or carry a sharp pen and gouge the eyes, gouge the throat, gouge the soft tissue. Always go for soft tissue, the throat, the cheeks, the eyes, the ears. This isn't patty cake time. This is death or your death. So when something like that arises, you be prepared to use lethal force or else. Someone's going to die. But Michael, I'll give you your
Well,
last
Scott,
word.
this is my last word, and I'll shut up, I promise. Is that we as Americans cannot allow other Americans to be brutalized in this fashion.
That's right.
And I don't care if it's an inner city black, I don't care if it's a poor white trash white, I don't care if it's an illegal alien. When you see somebody hurting somebody else,
Yes.
well, everybody's out there. They got it on video. They recorded him. Now he's speeding away. You can't do that. Recording it, nobody cares. You got to stop the guy. You got to intervene and stop the guy. Might you get hurt? You might, but you got to get him. You got to make him stop. And if these criminals become so afraid because Americans are standing up and defending other Americans or other innocents, children, women, they're going to stop the nonsense. They're going to think twice about it because, all you got to do is have a crowd of four or five guys tear one of these guys apart
Yes.
and have that on video. And then you
Yes.
see another one and another one. And then the criminals say, hey, wait a minute. The natives are getting restless here. We better cool it. We better plan a little better. We just can't be helter-skelter on our approach to our crimes. We're going to have to be better at it. So it's up to us. We got to take care of our own. And these are our people. We have to protect them. These are our women. These are our children.
That no, that's absolutely right on the money, Mike. They are animal, barbarian, savage retards, for the most part, that act out of an animalistic, demonic impulse. There's no intelligent training. There's no strategy. This is all emotional, demonic possession expressed. Whereas the conservatives, the American patriots, those who are defenders of their town, their people, and like you said, fellow Americans. There's an intelligent tactical training involved. where they don't have anything. They're just expressing violence and chaos.
That Marine in the subway in New York who put the chokehold on that guy and ended up killing him,
yeah.
Bravo for him. But they're Amen. Making an example out of him. So guys like you and I are afraid to do that to the next offender. I'm not afraid. Fuck them. I mean, you know what? At my age, at 70 years old, life in prison doesn't mean as much as it used to. If I was 25, it'd be a different story. But at 70, yeah, so what? None of us are getting out of here alive. Make your life count for something.
Yeah.
Protect someone.
We are entering a time where if the police are not going to stand up and applaud and defend men like that who kill barbarians who are trying to kill you, then there is no police. There are enemies of the people wearing a uniform. And I think that's the other next thing we're going to see. The police have one choice. You're either on the side of the American patriots, on the side of the Constitution, on the side of the citizens, or you're on the side of the invaders, the murderers, the demoniacs, and the barbarians.
Agreed.
Mike, good to have you on. Very, very impressive. Appreciate it very much, and thank you for joining us. It's always refreshing to have your strategic mind, and I'm definitely going to put my money on the black number that Odessa is the target, and we'll see what happens. If it works out the way you're saying, I'll buy you steak dinner. So,
all right, I'll
in Odessa. Like we'll do it in Odessa. Get your passport ready. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us on Global Great Awakening. Very refreshing. We will see you next time. God bless you. Good night.